What's up, everybody? Dalton Miller back here with the fake Corey Kinnon for a Thursday episode of Daft on Draft. We like to do these Frankenstein episodes, putting together some of the best traits of the best college football players who are NFL draft eligible, molding them into the perfect NFL draft prospect for their position. Today, we are doing defensive tackles, which a class that I don't think is talked about enough in relation to how good it is in this class. I actually think that there's quite a bit of talent here, but a bit of niche talent as well here. And so it will be interesting to see what the Frankenstein defensive tackle looks like, because it won't have a prominent name on it that everybody is probably begging for. And we'll get into that at the end. So, Corey, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I got my workout in tonight. I do Orange Theory, and this is Hell Week, which is like a Halloween like promotion they do every year. It's just to try to get people to come to more classes, right? But it's like four intense workouts. Like, the intensity's kicked up. If you do all, you pay $15. So you're basically just buying the t-shirt, but you do all four workouts, you get a t-shirt. So I finished that up today. So I'm feeling a little sore. It was an endurance. I hate endurance workouts as well. Like, I love the like strength and power exercises, those like workouts. So the endurance ones always kick my ass. And so I'm a little gassed from that. But otherwise, I'm happy to be here. Good to go. So, yeah, I'm ready to build this Frankenstein defensive tackle. And I think we have really different lists. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, me too. I do think we have different lists. And, you know, I had a leg day today, and I'm just trying to grow that ass. You know what I mean? And we're going to talk about somebody who needs to grow a little bit of ass to survive at the NFL level.
That's a really good segue, man. That's an amazing segue.
Let's get into it here. Do we want to talk about that a little bit, a bit about the ass? Not about the ass in general, but about run defense. Somebody who has to be able to anchor really well. Mm-hmm. When we're going through our Frankenstein here, let's start it off strong with run defense. Who is the player that you are picking?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Godfather. So heading down to Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm taking Dante Corleone here. And that's not to sell what Dante Corleone has done as a pass rusher short. He has improved steadily as a pass rusher this season. And I think this kid should go day two. Again, he had the blood clots over the summer that sidelined him for the first couple weeks of the season. Actually only the first week of the season. He got cleared after the first week, but what he's doing as a pass rusher is insane compared to his career numbers. Going back to last year, he played 440 snaps and had 17 pressures. He's only played 292 snaps and already has 17 pressures this year, two sacks. He has seven stop tackles over the course of his career. He has a total of 58 stop tackles. The dude is 6'1" and 320. He is an absolute bowling ball.
And he's not 6'1 either.
No, he is definitely 6 foot and probably 225, 230. He is a big dude, but that doesn't sell short his athleticism at all. Yeah. Like, some dudes are just different. And I think Corleone is just different because you cannot move that guy off the ball. So when we're talking about run defense and the ability to eat double teams, the ability to hip check that second climber, that duo that's trying to move you out of your gap and you can't, that does wonders for linebacker play. That does wonders for three techs to be able to take on one-on-one blocks. It does wonders for everybody else around you. And that just is who Dante Corleone is. Again, he doesn't play much outside of nose tackle. 265 of his 292 snaps are in the A gap. Like, that's what he is. He's a nose tackle. And again, he might get drafted a little bit lower because the NFL doesn't tend to draft nose tackles very high. Strictly one tech very high, which is going to just be to some the reward to some team who drafts him, you know, late third round, early fourth round, fifth, depending on his meds. Again, the blood clots could come up in Indy and his meds could kind of do things. But as far as a run defender, dude, you can't find a better bowling ball to try to anchor in your defensive line than Dante Corleone in this draft class, I don't think.
I'm really interested to see what his arms come in at, because like, when I watch him, I just immediately think of Puna Ford, someone who's really short, has that natural leverage, is really tough to move. And I think that Corleone could play that sort of role at the NFL level. I don't think that he has to just be a zero tech or a one tech. I think that he can move out and even play, you know, a little bit of 4-eye. I think that he has enough athleticism to survive out there. My run D guy is also from the state of Ohio. He does go to Ohio State, and it is Tyleek Williams. I think we are not talking enough about not just his game against the run, but his entire repertoire, because he's a great pass rusher as well. He's one of my favorite players in this draft class. I'm not, you know, going to go out and proclaim that he's a top 10 guy or a top 20 guy, but I think that he could legitimately push for DT2, because I think we all know who DT1 is. Mm-hmm. But where there's a little bit of a difference with DT1 and kind of his build and athleticism and Williams, I do think that they are somewhat equally versatile in the way that they play the game.
I was a big fan of Tyleek Williams early in the season. I checked out his Michigan State and his Iowa tape. I haven't checked back in since then. But that Iowa game, he was constantly in the backfield against Iowa.
He was freaking awesome.
He was constantly in the backfield against Iowa.
And he was freaking awesome against Oregon.
That's good to hear.
It really was.
I was a huge fan over the summer, and I know he missed the beginning of the season with injuries. So it's good to hear that he's bounced back at full strength. Where do you want to go next? You want to go pass rush? You want to go
We might as well go to pass rush. We'll go run defense and pass rush, get him out of the way. This was tough because, you know, you want to put DT1 in there for pass rush. You want to put him in for each one of these categories, really. But I didn't go that direction. I went with somebody who I literally just got to the tape yesterday, and I watched a big, big group of defensive tackles a little bit earlier in the season, and I just got to Ole Miss defensive tackle Walter Nolan, and I really enjoy his game overall. I mean, we're talking about somebody with absolutely ferocious hands. When I wrote down a weakness on his scouting report as a weakness of my own, because when I watched Braden Fisk last year, I thought, listen, he's a bull in a china shop, but he's kind of out of control, kind of gets out over his skis a little bit. And Walter Nolan plays with that same sort of ferociousness, but I think he has a little bit more control to his game. I also think that he's a much smoother athlete than Fisk, who was more of a violent athlete. So Nolan also has a great pass rush plan. He does a really good job of reducing his surface area and kind of sneaking through the shoulder of offensive guards. So for me, as a pass rusher at the next level, he's got a little bit of bend. He can survive on the outside in playing defensive line games with stunts. And I think that overall, he has probably the second highest pass rush upside in this class.
Yeah, I like Walter Nolan a lot. It's gotten better because it was a huge thing at Texas A&M when I was doing summer scouting on him. But I do still think that there are plays where it looks like he's either kind of trying to catch a breath or, you know, he's – mm-hmm. Down a distance, maybe context wise as well, isn't as locked in as he is in obvious pass rush situations, which is something to keep an eye on. And again, he has steadily improved, and I do think he's a freak, and he's on my list down here a little bit for a different category we're going to cover. But I do like Walter Nolan quite a bit. For my pass rush guy, you said you didn't want to use DT1 on, you know, you could use him wherever, and I'm going to use him here. I'm going to use Mason Graham here. Head and shoulders the best defensive tackle in this class. We can love as many of these defensive tackles as we want, but Mason Graham's it. We're talking about 24 pressures already this season, already a career high in sacks this season at Michigan as well. And that was his biggest knock, is people would knock his box score, that like, oh, he doesn't have sacks, he doesn't have production. But if you turn his tape, he's constantly in the backfield. He's constantly applying pressure. He's constantly in the face of quarterbacks. The heaviest hands in this draft class by a mile and a half. And he can win from a variety of alignments. Over the center, over a guard, over a tackle, doesn't really freaking matter. I'm going to go Mason Graham here. And again, you could have used him at, you know, wherever you wanted to in this list, but I'm going to go ahead and burn him on pass rush.
I don't think that's a bad pick at all. Let's go to burst in athleticism now. Who's your guy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a bit of a sleeper here. And I've actually, you know, talking about Walter Nolan, that's Walter Nolan's teammate at Ole Miss. And dude, J.J. Pegues is not a household name, and he's a fifth-year senior, transfer from Auburn, and he probably won't be much more than like a guy you're just going to throw on the field as another like pass rush specialist and maybe some NASCAR packages and stuff like that at the next level. Although his body work against the run isn't bad. He's listed at 6'2", 235, so he's got a really fun body type as well.
325?
Yeah, 6'2", 325. He's a dense boy. But I'm going to go J.J. Pegues here. Because if you just watch that dude get off the ball, or you watch the way that he can get around tackles, his versatility is fun too. I probably could have used him for versatility, but I'm not going to. Again, 153 snaps as a three tech, 58 as a five tech, 97 off the edge outside of the tackle for Ole Miss this year at 6'2", 325. And he gets off the ball, dude. And he's got an electric cross chop. He's got some flexibility in his hips. So I really like JJ Pegasus so much. The way that people might remember him, especially during his days at Auburn, is he wore number 88 and he would play tight end in jumbo packages and he would take direct snaps in the goal line. And he still does it at Ole Miss. He will come in as a tight end in jumbo packages at the goal line. He will take wildcat snaps and try to score. Like, that's just the kind of kid, like, he is a freaking athlete at 6'2", 325. And it's kind of showing up finally as a pass rusher as well. And so that's really exciting. You know, the past 2 weeks combined against LSU, we all know LSU's offensive tackles, Will Campbell, Emory Jones, their interior is a little more suspect, six pressures. Against Oklahoma last week, and again, Oklahoma, we've talked about, this is the worst offensive line that Oklahoma's ever fielded in recent memory. Like, that program isn't a place they haven't been in a while.
Their backup left tackle came in that Ole Miss game, and I don't think he stopped Princely Umanmilan once. Or Jared Ivey. He just got ran right through. As soon as the starter got injured, they threw Umanmilan over there and said, go at him. Go at him. Just keep going. I felt so bad for that backup.
I love it. But in this game against Oklahoma, he had five pressures and two sacks. So, like, he's just a fun kid to watch. Do I think he's going to be a day one pick? No. Do I think he's a day two pick? Maybe back end. But I think this is one of those day three role players that you say, this kid can get off the ball. This kid could bring me something on pass rush situations, and I want him on my football team. And he's a load of fun, man. He is fun. So JJ Pegasus is my pick for burst and athleticism.
And mine is an undersized. And that was a little bit of a sleeper pick because he is 320. It's a big dude moving like that.
He moves so well. It's crazy to watch his tape. It's so fun.
I'm going with an undersized guy. Five-star guy on that Texas A&M defensive line, Shamar Turner. His burst off the ball is awesome. And I'm really interested to see what kind of a role he will play at the NFL level, because he's a guy, I don't think he carries much bad weight. I think that if you want to bulk him up even to 305 and put a little bit more meat on him, you could, if you want him to survive a little bit more on the defensive interior. But I also think that he has good natural strength already. I think that he reduces his surface area pretty well, but he is very, very quick off the ball, laterally and vertically. He is a special athlete on the defensive interior. And I think that his production this year so far as a pass rusher has been understated a little bit. I think that the pressures that I have seen him get in games that aren't counted for him on PFF, I feel is a little bit funny. So for me, I think that he's having a better year as a pass rusher than the stats would suggest.
He's also playing with two potential first-round defensive ends around him as well, which kind of will steal some of your stats, zap some of your stats as well. But yeah, I was going to say, did you watch the pregame of that LSU-Texas A&M game where he got in a shoving match with Emory Jones Jr. and Miles Frazier, the interior?
No, I missed that.
Oh, dude, yeah, he got us like a shoving match with some LSU offensive linemen. That dude is a first team off the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of guy. Absolutely stacked.
Him or Stewart. I mean, they both are. Like, yeah, they're the same exact size.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they are first team off the bus guys. I would not pick on that dude at all. And it kind of got him in a little bit of trouble in the game as well, because he got a little chippy in the game and got flagged for unnecessary roughness by hitting, like, running a shoulder to Garrett Nussmeier when he didn't really need to. But he's absolutely a first team off the bus guy. I love that pick for burst and athleticism as well. Let's go with, we got two more left, size and length and versatility. So let's go with size length. Who's your pick for size length
here? A little bit of an under the radar one here. Somebody who was talked very highly of. I have actually only watched two of his games so far this year. They were at the beginning of the season. They were so bad that I said, I'm going to just hold off until he is in the NFL draft for me to finish up his evaluation, because I needed to cleanse my palate. That is Florida State defensive tackle Joshua Farmer. And I'm going there for size because I have him as 6'3", 318 pounds, and he has good length in the arms. He's got a good wingspan. So for me, that's kind of where I'm at with, I want somebody who can be athletic enough. And that was kind of what he was billed as a pretty good athlete on the interior for that size. And that's what you want. You want that combination of 6'2", 6'3", good anatomical length, and the ability to kind of sit down and anchor if you need to and have that sort of ass. And he has a very, very good build with not a ton of bad weight on his frame either. It's spread out pretty well. So he's my guy for build.
I love it. It's interesting because it kind of depends on the defensive coordinator. I've noticed some defensive coordinators really love stubbier defensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at the Rams don't have a long defensive tackle on their roster. And that goes back to Aaron Donald, which that's regime after regime. That wasn't one regime that like stuck with Donald, and you stick with Donald, obviously. But like this current regime, Les Snead and Sean McVay and Raheem Morris is obviously gone now. But like if you look at the two defensive tackles that they've drafted over the past 2 years that are playing really, really well in their defense, they are both pretty stubby dudes. Like Braden Fisk is not a long dude.
No.
He does not have long arms. Kobe Turner is not a long dude. They are both very sawed off, stubby dudes who are just quick.
Yeah.
They're twitchy. And so like, it really depends. And I know I've watched a coach's clinic with Jim Schwartz, who's the Browns defensive coordinator now, obviously. And he said that he prefers guys with like 32 inch arms because they can get into the chest of the man across from them quicker and they're harder to get out. They don't give opposing blockers a target. Like they don't give their arms. They don't have arms to give. So once they're in the chest, they're in the chest. And so that's just an interesting thing as well to think about. I'm going to go ahead and use the guy you used last time for my size and length, kind of because of that. And again, he's listed at 6'4", 300. Again, I think he's probably 6'3", 300. He might be a little sub 300, but will probably play at 300 at the NFL level. Shamar Turner, again, first guy off the bus, kind of build to him. Like he has no neck. He has just like, he's stacked. There's not like his body fat is probably sub 10, sub 12, like somewhere around there. Like he is, maybe that's probably exaggerated quite a bit. But the dude is stacked at 300 pounds. And so, again, another guy who plays really low to the ground, plays with really good leverage, and that's not all size. But again, a guy that's going to get in your chest, you're not going to get him out. And I think that's kind of more what I'm getting at here. And so at 6'3", probably 6'3", 290 is what he's sitting at right now. Again, I'd prefer 6'3", 300, but which I think he's probably going to play at the NFL level. So I'm going to go Shamar Turner for size here for my Frankenstein defensive tackle.
Get it. All right. And then we go to the last one, which is versatility.
For my versatility, again, I could have gone JJ Pegasus here too if I really wanted to, because just because he plays all over the place. But I'm going to go with a guy who's more of a three-down defensive tackle who has broken out this year after transferring to Oregon after 3 years of kind of mediocre production at Michigan State. And that's Derek Harmon. I'm going to go with Derek Harmon for my versatility. Again, he has a really good body of work as both a run defender and a pass rusher at Oregon right now. Again, he's another one of those guys who has like a really sexy box score. And you watch the tape and it's pretty good, but I don't think the tape matches 100% with the box score and with the kind of the first round hype that he's getting. Again, he could go first round because I know there's not a lot of people who love the defensive tackle class as much as you do. And as much as I tend to think there are some really nice role players and guys who can fill in and fit in a defensive rotation really, really well. So he could slip into the first round based on that. And I think he'll test well. He looks like a pretty decent athlete to me. But I'm going to go with versatility for him because he's played 186 snaps at 3-tech, 75 at 5-tech. He's played 12 snaps at edge and then 23 snaps at 1-tech as well. So he's proven he can play. He can play nose tackle. He can play 3-tech. He can even bump out a little bit more in 5-tech, play some big end. And that's really valuable. And he's doing it at a Power 4 program at the number one school in the nation. They've played teams like Ohio State. Looking at their schedule, that's actually the only like decent team they've played thus far. I mean, I guess Illinois, but he's done it against Ohio State and he played really well against Ohio State for the most part, especially against the run in that game. So I'm going to go Derek Harmon for versatility. Just his ability to be a steady producer wherever he's lined up is extremely valuable.
Yeah, the one thing I'll kind of say about him, he kind of reminds me of Malik Collins a little bit in the fact that like he is a difference-making run defender, but I wouldn't say that he's a consistent run defender because a lot of what he does is based off of aggression and really shooting gaps and making plays in the backfield, being more of a disruptor. My versatility pick is just the best player in the class for defensive tackles. And I picked him for versatility because I think he might be the best run defender in the class and the best pass rusher in the class. So I think that's pretty versatile. On top of that, he has played 9 snaps in the A gap, and at 325 pounds and as good as he is against the run, he could play in the A gap full time if your team needed him to. He's played 274 snaps in the B gap, 67 over the tackle, and 24 outside. And they use him a lot looping around on the outside. And he's got good bend. I wouldn't say that he's like a particularly dangerous arc rusher, but he has the size to obviously set the edge, and he has the athleticism to chase out on the edge if a guy is off tackle. So for me, the versatility pick is the best player in the class.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. It's hard to argue with that because you kind of cover multiple bases instead of just putting him at pass rusher or putting him at run defender. You're putting him at both.
Yeah.
That's kind of fair.
He's just a freaking stud, that's man. That's kind of fair. He's so good. He really is. And you talked about his hands earlier, but he has the violence and just authority and directness with his hands. And I haven't seen that since Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that level of violence and accuracy and plan from hands since Jeffrey Simmons. And he was one of my favorite players of the last 5 or 6 draft classes. So I think Graham can get a little bit more consistent. I think he's on the ground a little bit too much, but he is as physically dominant a player as you will find in this class.
Definitely agree. We have to talk about one defensive tackle who coming into this football season is seen as a top 10 prospect in this class that we did not put for any of our traits. And we've kind of talked about off air, like his 2024 tape is bad. I would say it's bad. I don't know if you'd go that far. I would say it's bad.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm trying to think of which games I literally just watched to catch up on him.
Maybe this is the better way for me to phrase it. I would not use a top 32 pick on this player.
Yeah.
I would not use a top 32 pick on him.
So I watched Ole Miss and Auburn, and I think what gets people going when it comes to Deion Walker is the pass rush production at that size, which is pretty ridiculous overall. And I do think he has super heavy hands. You were talking about Mason Graham's hands. I was talking about Graham's hands. I think he has like 10.5-inch hands. I think that they are massive. He's got big old bear paws, and he moves guys as a pass rusher. He has a plethora of pass rush moves, but I have 2-3 major issues with him. He takes about half the snaps. He plays completely off and just stands there and allows his frame to just hold ground. The second thing is he is a defensive tackle with no ass. He has an inverted ass. And I don't know if you guys know all that much about your bodies and anatomy, but your ass is a very, very powerful muscle that contributes to lower body explosiveness and strength. And even though he's 340 pounds and he is difficult to move, those NFL dudes with asses are probably going to be able to move him, especially when he loses the leverage battle, which he does all the time, partially because he takes plays off and partially just because he is 6'6" and he shoots high at times. He's got a little bit of a swim move. When he hits the swim, it is nasty. But when he doesn't, he's just standing straight up and he gets taken out of the play and then he just stops pursuing. And so those are kind of the issues that I have with him personally. Like, I'll watch Tylee run a guy down to the sideline and he might not catch him, but he's making the attempt. Mm-hmm. You're not seeing that with Walker on a snap to snap basis.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. And I think I also just struggle with the majority of his production has come against Ole Miss and Auburn, two teams that do not have a single draftable offensive lineman on them as well this season. Like that's where 6 pressures and 2 sacks against Ole Miss. spent money everywhere else on the roster except their offensive line for God knows why. And then this past week against Auburn, two sacks, two pressures. I couldn't name one Auburn offensive line to you right now off the top of my head. Outside of that, Georgia, one total pressure. That was it.
I didn't think his tape was very good against Georgia.
No, Vanderbilt, zero pressures on 45 snaps. Like, he disappears often. And for a guy who we've talked about as like, we did talk about as like, oh, this all summer, this guy's a freak. 6'6", 245. He moves like this. He does this.
I don't see he's nowhere near like, because at his size and his pass rush production, he's going to get comped to Dexter Lawrence.
Right.
But we need to understand that this man, and I did not love Dexter Lawrence's tape at Clemson. Thought he was going to be a long-term project. It took him 2 or 3 years to kind of get it at the NFL level, but now he might be the best defensive player in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's not the type of athletic upside that Dion Walker has.
No.
Not even close. He's not even nearly as explosive. Yeah,
and you said he shoots high, and I just think he is stiff. Like, I don't think it's like, he just needs to be more disciplined with his pad level. I think, like, no, that's his natural pad level, and I don't know if that's going to get much better.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he has room to get much better with his pad level. So for me, he's a very hard prospect to project to the NFL, and probably not one, given all of the things that we've talked about, that I would use a top 32 pick on. And again, out of all of these five traits that we've talked about, we don't see him as a standout at any of those five traits either, which I think, even as much as we talk about the things that he can do, is kind of a red flag.
And we would have done size and length, but we both agree that having a little bit of size back there is important.
Yeah, that's the Bill Belichick thing, right? That's Bill Belichick would go to the combine specifically to look at dude's ass and be like, yep, that guy's got it, that guy doesn't. Like,
yep.
He would legitimately do that. And so it's a thing. It's kind of crazy he can generate as much power as he can without an ass, but we'll see at the NFL level how that kind of plays out. But
yep.
I just see a lot of glaring holes in his game for a player that has been talked about as a top 10 prospect for months now.
Yeah. The consistency and effort is not there for me.
Yeah, completely agree. All right, do you want to go back over these defensive tackles?
Sure. Let's go over what we had for each category here. I had for run defense, Ohio State defensive tackle Tyleek Williams. For pass rush, I had Ole Miss defensive tackle Walter Nolan. Size, length, I had Florida State defensive tackle Joshua Farmer. Burst athleticism, Texas A&M defensive tackle Shamar Turner. And for versatility, Michigan defensive tackle Mason Graham. Shamar Turner would have been a good one for versatility too. I just thought about that because he plays zero a lot for them. He can move out to the outside as well.
He does. So. For me, for run defense, I had Cincinnati's Dante Corleone. For pass rush, I had Mason Graham, Michigan. Burst athleticism, I went with kind of a sleeper pick with JJ Pegas from Ole Miss. Size and length, I did go with Shamar Turner there. Versatility, I went with Derek Harmon from Oregon.
And that's it. That is the Frankenstein defensive tackle. We didn't have a single similar pick. Nope. I think that is the first time that has happened building our Frankenstein so far.
Especially considering we built the exact same tight ends.
Yeah.
When we did tight ends. That's fun. Yep. So,
it's a fun exercise.
It is a fun exercise.
It is a fun exercise. Eventually, we will get into building a board, but it's not time yet. There's dominoes that need to fall before we can really start to build this board out together. We will have a preview of the college football weekend for you guys tomorrow. And until then, I'm Dalton Miller. That's the fake Corey Kinnon. I love you guys. Goodbye.